folks. My name is Emily.
My name is Elle.
And we are Oh My Word Podcast. Thank you so much for being here. We're going to talk about TV shows. We'll talk about movies, books, musicals. We give you our ratings. We give you some context and tell you what's going on, both specifically like plot-wise and then some bigger issues, so that you can then make educated, informed decisions. Because so many people sit in front of Netflix or sit in front of YouTube for hours on end, mindlessly just watching whatever comes up. And sometimes the stuff that we watch is not so great for us to watch. And books have no ratings. So we provide our ratings. And then you can decide.
We have a pearl clutching system. Violence, language, romance. 0 to 4. 0 being the best for someone to get and 4 being not so great to get. And part of this is also because the violence, language, and romance, these are kind of the big things that we're looking out for in books and films and musicals and all that, and series and all that kind of stuff. So today, we're actually talking about something interesting. It's not something that, it's been around for a while and I've heard about it from a few people and I wasn't so necessarily interested in seeing it. And then Emily was like, we have to talk about it, watch it. Not in those exact words. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. It's more like she sat on her side of the basement. She was like throwing peanuts at me. And then I was like, oh, what is that ticking sound? Is it the water pipes again? And I was checking everything out. I had all my gear on before she was like, oh, no, just kidding. That was me. So she waited for me to get all decked out and be lugging around. That's like 40 pounds of equipment because you never know what you're going to need.
Well, but she sort of looks like the Malamander when she's all decked out. And if you don't know what the Malamander is, you need to tune into last week's episode. But it's really funny seeing her and all her stuff. So
right. So this is, everything ends up taking longer then, because by the time you put it all the stuff on and then you take all the stuff off, and then I can hear her because it's difficult to hear her through. I didn't have the comlink set up yet. So I couldn't hear her through the helmet, because you got to always make sure that you're prepared for any eventuality, even if you're just going to check the pipes. That is our lesson to you today. Also, the other lesson we have, I watched only the beginning of it, even though Emily's seen there's 3 seasons. I think they officially wrapped it up, so I think there's only 3 seasons. This is called Schtissel, and it's interesting because, also if you haven't canceled Netflix yet, it's on Netflix, and it's about, they follow a religious family, like Hasidic, really, really religious family living in Israel. The area is called Geula. It's a neighborhood that has, or Bnei Brak, I think it is. Actually, it's one of those two. Well, whatever it is. It's in a very, very religious neighborhood. So everyone's living that lifestyle. It's kind of it's a little bit sheltered, a little bit of a secluded kind of lifestyle. You're not going to see a lot of secular in it. Not in a negative way, just because these are the people in their neighborhood. So it's kind of like a religious hood almost. And they're following the family through. It's a family drama. It's about love and loss and all that sort of stuff. It starts off with that the mother had just passed. So the main character, well, there's a few main characters. One main character, you have the dad who's got 6 kids, and we see what's going on in each of their lives or in most of their lives of the different kids. Mm-hmm. The one kid that we see the most of is Akiva. And he starts off, he's like 26, and he's supposed to be getting married. He's supposed to be having a job and all that kind of stuff, which is actually good. I did like that. It was like, come on, you got to get a job. You can't just be bumming around. That was good that they had that. Because a lot of times people don't necessarily see like religious people being like that. So like, come on, you got to be doing something with your life. The marriage stuff, whatever. The biggest thing about this, there's 2 parts about it the biggest thing about it is that violence is a 0, language is a 0, and romance is a 1. Which is incredible for such a... Well, and it is a highly regarded, and Israel's won a bunch of awards. It's a highly regarded TV series to have. The romance was also almost a 0 because you never see men and women touching each other. They got the religious aspect of it down. So it's only a 1 because there is a lot about dating and you have a love interest and stuff like that. But this show is almost like a model of how you can have drama and romance and all that kind of stuff without crossing certain lines. That's from what I've seen so far. So they really got their right. And they also, sometimes in Israel, there's a very big divide between the secular and the religious. It's part of the fabric of the country. It's the way things work. And even though you have all these actors or secular actors playing maybe not all, but many of them are secular actors playing religious individuals. They seem to have been very respectful or very, I guess, considerate of like the source material. There's no point where they're kind of like derogatory, whether or not you agree with the religious, you know, the religious practices, the religious outlooks, there never seems to be a point where it's actually like derogatory. They don't seem like this sly making fun of it. It just seems like we're just going to show you this.
Yes.
Which is also another study of like, you could get these things right.
Yeah. No, anytime you see religious people, and it almost doesn't matter what religion, when you see very deeply religious people depicted on TV, there's, as a whole group, you know, maybe there's one person who stands out as good, but generally they're sort of poked fun at, or they have some deep flaw, so they, you know, they can't just be good people. I think because all of the people are Haredi in this, that meant that they had to show variety within people, as opposed to the show Unorthodox, which I'm connecting it only because both of these shows are very popular right now, and they both show a similar group of very Orthodox Jews. And in that one, because the girl is going from her Orthodox life to her non-Orthodox, to like a secular life, the secular people are all wonderful and the religious people are all bad, because that's what's set up in this world, because she's in both worlds. But because Shtisel is only religious people, then you can't just have a story. I mean, I guess you could, but it's not about bad people. It's about real people who love, but sometimes love too fiercely, you know, who are protective of their family, but are sometimes too protective, who, you know, and that's all of us. These are just real people who are trying to do the best thing by their family, but sometimes in doing that, make mistakes.
Yes. And yes. Very well said. Yeah.
Thank you.
Because that's also a trick, that they, to make them relatable, even though a lot of people are not living that lifestyle or can't even relate to that lifestyle. First of all, because it's already a Jewish lifestyle, and then it's within the Jewish, it's the ultra-Orthodox within the Jewish lifestyle. And you just see, like, this kid just wants to, like, it opens up, there's the first romantic interest that he has. So the one woman who's caught his eye, right? And he's trying to, but she's a widow, she's twice widowed. So people are like, don't go there. Right. And you could say, oh, how can you, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But you could see someone in a regular world saying, this person's twice widowed. Like, maybe don't go there. You know, you could see people saying that. You could see how, no, because he still thinks she's so special and all that kind of stuff. And they do subtext so well. You have to rely so strongly on the acting for this. There's one point where he has this like heater fund, this free loan heater fund, which also just shows how he's like, he's just like a good-hearted person who's sometimes like a little bit ridiculous and juvenile, but without without bringing down the character and without bringing down the lifestyle or any of that kind of stuff. You just see like, he's 26, but he was probably like a mama's boy. Like, it's almost like,
I think he is the baby of the family.
Yeah. Yeah. So you see, and you see the dad's trying to not baby him and like, come on, get on with your life and the kind of stuff. So this the woman that he's got his eye on, she comes, oh, can I borrow a heater? So you see, like, he's looking at her, and she's looking at him, and you know they're feeling something, like, you know there's something there, and it's like, oh, I have to check, make sure the heater works. Like, okay, no, he just wants her to stay longer, right? But he doesn't say that, so he plugs the heater in, and they're both looking at each other, and the heater's growing strong. You know exactly what is going on, and nobody has touched each other yet. That's it. It's sort of like what we mentioned with Shane, with the mom, go back to that episode, but with Shane, that the mom tells the dad, like, oh, hold me, and she really wants Shane to be holding her at that point, whatever. But here you don't, the men and the women do not touch each other. That's the way it works in the ultra-Orthodox community. These people are not related to each other. They don't touch each other. These are the rules of modesty. And there's not even, if this would be secular, there would be a point like, oh, if one love interest is into someone else or one's moving away or whatever, they'd find their quiet corner. Somehow they'd end up sleeping together. Somehow, you know, because our love is too strong for each other to maintain our values and beliefs or whatever it is. And they don't go there. It's funny because the Netflix description calls it understated, and it is, because it's small set, probably low. I mean, I don't know how low budget, but it doesn't. There's no CGI. It's very,
it's
very
really good production
done.
Value though, in terms of like the set. I mean, it looks.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It looks good.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So, but the money's not going into the cost. There's not elaborate costumes. They're all wearing the religious garb. No. Just pretty straightforward costume. You know, it's not silks and jewels and that kind of stuff. And you know what's interesting also? Because they're living in this ultra-Orthodox community, and this is something that you really have to, well, not you have to, but to have real admiration for the actresses, their makeup is very also understated. Because in that world, the women are not wearing bright red lipstick. They don't do that. So if you watch these women, they have to have makeup for the camera, but it's makeup that almost looks like not really that much makeup. And actresses That's to go true. Out and do that, these women are probably beautiful women, and they're covering themselves up a lot. They're wearing these like wigs because the married woman, they cover their hair, and so they're wearing these like not great wigs. And they're doing this also, and without putting down, I mean, I don't know what they're saying off camera or not, or whatever jokes are going on set, but coming out and you're doing the story and you're being respectful of it. You're not making comments about your, you know, your face, and I can't make my face up, or like your hair, what your wig looks like. They're not doing that. And the actors get on the camera, and nobody's taking their shirt off in this series. No one, that kind of stuff is not happening here. So it's really a big thing also on the actors and the actress that did this. When was the last time you met like an actress who was willing to just go? Because usually now they're like, oh, she was so vulnerable. Like she did the crying scene, and there was like no makeup in the crying scene. And she was so vulnerable. Like, okay, do 3 seasons of understated, barely their makeup. And be comfortable with it.
That's one of the things.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things about this show that I've noticed, and some other Israeli TV shows, and also some British TV shows. So maybe not all of the actors and actresses are gorgeous. Especially when they include a lot of older actors.
Yes.
And they're not models. They look like real people.
Yeah. The standards are different for sure.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love how it felt more real being in, maybe specifically because it's this very specific community.
Yeah.
That they weren't all these gorgeous model types that some people were a little bit fatter, and some people, you know, a little bit, you know, their face, just what wrinkles, whatever. They're just real people.
Yeah. Some of them look prettier than others. You can see some of them facially are nicer looking than others, but yeah, it's so true. And it also is true. I remember certain, when I've seen certain adaptations, like British adaptations of different books or things like that, and it's the main actress is not always this like gorgeous, skinny, whatever.
Right.
Whatever she is at that point. No, but she's not this gorgeous, skinny woman. Even the men are not necessarily like that. Or maybe unless that's their version of like the Hawkeye. And for us, it's just like, okay. But it's true. It's true that, and that also allows the story to be told.
Yes.
It goes back to a few episodes ago of not objectifying and just being like, it's not about the eye candy, isn't it? Aren't we all here for the story? Like,
yes.
Hopefully.
And Schtissel does it. It's a perfect study of you can tell a story, you can make it dramatic, you can make it real, vulnerable, you can bring people to tears, I'm talking about the audience, you can bring the audience to tears, to laughter, to frustration, without violence, without sex, without inappropriate language, all these things that are supposed to be edgy and are supposedly
art,
adding to the story.
Yeah.
But are really just covering up. If you have a good story, you don't need any of that stuff. Because this show doesn't have any of that stuff. And it is so, these characters are so complex and so rich. I mean, I'm trying to think of any dramas that I've seen. Because it's not a soap opera.
Right.
You know, it's just a good.
It's a family drama, whatever that is. Yeah. I mean, some parts, some parts you like better than others. Some parts are kind of like, what's going on here? But as a general thing, it's true. Even more than the story, it's a study of how you could do all these things without all the other stuff. Yeah, that's definitely, it's definitely a winner from that perspective, for sure.
There's this really interesting, there are two interesting things. So for people who aren't as familiar with this world, I don't know if it clicks, but when a man and woman who are not married are together in a room, a door is left open. Like you wouldn't close a door all the way. And it's something like they're very faithful to all the little details of this religious life. But that in particular is one which if you don't know what's going on, maybe after seeing it enough times, it makes sense to you. I don't know. But it's very, so it's not just that the characters don't touch, it's that they go even above and beyond in this way. And I like that they added that detail, and I think it's an important, like, do you remember a couple of years ago, Mike Pence said something like, I never go to dinner with a woman, alone with a woman who isn't my wife, and people are like, ah, that's so bad, it's not respectful right. of women, yeah. blah, blah, blah. But his point was, no, I don't want to be in a position where a woman might feel uncomfortable or where someone might think something untoward has happened. And that's the case here. It's not that they're leaving the door open, not because they have nefarious ideas, but specifically to make sure that everyone is comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, the woman is comfortable. She's not trapped in there. They're not trapped together, and that people on the outside are aware that this is a safe environment. Like, this is an okay place. I really love that they included that little detail that, you know, whoever the writers are were smart enough and that they film it enough to make sure, like, that was really good. And then one other thing, this is in a later season, so I won't give it away too much, but there's sort of an issue between husbands and wives. And a few of the husbands are together at the yeshiva, which is the like place where they learn. And they're talking about their wives making all these decisions, and aren't we the men of the house, and who are our wives to make all these decisions? And, you know, one wife wants to go to school and one wife wants to drive. And it's this whole thing like, oh my goodness, we're supposed to be in charge. And you think it's going to be this whole thing about how sexist the community is. But then each of these husbands goes home. Well, they only really show one, because one is more of a main character, and has a whole conversation. And the wife is like, you go and learn, and I take care of the house, and if I want to do some of these things, I'm going to do them. And then the husband, you know, blusters, but later comes back and says, I've decided it's okay for you to do this thing. And it's so good, because it's showing, look, there are, between men and women, there are these issues, you know, whether, you know, in married couples, whether you're religious or not, someone feels like they want to be in charge. So the women basically let the men feel like they're in charge. You know, so it's not like the women are depressed and can't do anything. None of the women in this show are weak or meek or, you know, don't have, they all have
specifically
power. They are all, you know, in charge of their own lives, but there's still that interplay of marriage. And so it's just good, because usually in a show that's about religious people, it would show that, oh, they're so sexist and the women don't have anything, but it's not like that. Oh, and one more thing that I really like, because the main, so there's Akiva and then his father, Shalom.
He's like always eating. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's the patriarch of the family and like a little bit more old school in certain ways. And every time he gets like in his most religious fervor, in a way that you might think, oh, look at, they're religious, they're just, you know, stuck in their old ways. Every time that happens, it's because he wants to protect his son. And he uses the religion because that's the thing that makes the most sense to him, because his wife died. His wife was the mother. She was the one who was sensitive. He doesn't know how to be sensitive.
Yeah.
He doesn't know how to have these hard conversations. He knows how to talk religion with his kids. So he uses it because it's the only thing that makes sense to him. But he's not wielding it like a bludgeon. It's just that's the only thing that he can connect with. But it's all just about love and family. And they're all just real people. And I don't think you have to be Jewish or know anything about Israel to enjoy the show. And I think that's the point. It's just a show about people. It happens to be in this world. You know, you could put it in Portugal, you could put it in Argentina, you know, in a religious, not like, it doesn't, the religion helps to explain, helps to set up some of the plots, but ultimately they're people.
Yeah.
It is in Hebrew and Yiddish. So, you know, I watched it with English subtitles. Yeah. It's not one of those shows you can have on in the background, unfortunately. Like, you have to actually watch it because you have to read, but But it's so good.
Yeah. There was actually, there was one thing, and this was only probably the second or third episode, that one of the women, because her husband, so that's also like her husband runs off on her. So marital issues is something that everyone can relate. Well, I don't say everyone, right. But everyone's familiar, everyone knows that this exists. It's not specific to any community, you know? Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, that's like a real thing. So she has to go find work, because she ends up finding work with a secular family. And so they give her a cup of water and she says a blessing over it, because that's what religious people do. They say blessings before they eat. So the son is like, what did you just say? Like, are you saying prayers? And she's like, no, I just said a blessing. Oh, what did you say? And she's like, she notices, she kind of looks at the wall. She's like, oh, it's something only religious people need to do. So on the one end, you're like, well, I don't really think it works like that. But on the other end, you're like, okay, they're really being careful to not press, like to not come across as pedantic or like, right. They're being very careful about the portrayal of the religion to not be this preachy sort of thing. And so I don't know if that's actually what it was, but it kind of, on the one end, you're like, no aspect of religion is only for one kind of group. As far as like, oh, only if you're religious can you celebrate this holiday. You know, only if you're religious can you do whatever the value is or the commandment is or a thing like that. So that's not like a gray message, but at the same time, you do see how careful they're being in, yes, the religion defines the world and the behaviors and things like that, but we're not pressing, you know, we're not preaching to anyone. We're not pressing on anyone, which probably also has to do with the way they were able to write it, than to be mm-hmm. respectful of the, you know, the source material and things like that, to just be able to say, you know, this is just these people. Like, this is what these people's lives are like.
Right.
Without it being anything that's like, oh, I can't handle this because they're just preaching. Like, there's no big sermons. There's no sermons that go on there. Like, no. Oh, why do I have to sit through this? So that's also, they just really got a lot of things right with this show. It's pretty, I resisted watching it for so long that I was like, I'm kind of impressed with it, with what they did so far. So, good job. Well,
there's only so many peanuts I can throw at you.
Yeah, you know, we should probably actually go collect those now before we get unintentionally make peanut butter all over the floor.
I actually like peanut butter better than peanuts. So
don't throw peanut butter at me.
I'll concede because I don't want to get rats or bugs or anything. So fine, we can clean up. Before we go, or while we're doing that, you guys can head over to Instagram and follow us at Oh My Word Podcast. You can also subscribe to the podcast, leave a rating and a review, and share it with everyone you know. And
subscribe. We're in all the places.
Yeah.
Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music. Escape. We're in all the places. Find us, subscribe, tell people, share it. Get it out there.
All those things.
All those things.
Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Cheers, people.
Oh My Word Podcast is brought to you by the Pearl Clutching Basement Dwellers at Oh My Word. Follow us on Instagram for updates at Oh My Word Podcast, or like and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. For full episode notes and details, visit eltenenbaum.com. Music is by Tim Burke. Sound is by Gabriel Yaffe. See you next time.